Blog Talk Radio.
Fill us now, Spirit.
Jesus, the Messiah, was anointed, anointed to preach the good news, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty, to open prison doors. Oh, he was anointed to heal the sick. We desire to be anointed with pressure. Sweet anointed, precious is the anointing.
Sweet anointing of the Lord, fall, set us free. Here we stand, our hearts cry out. Heal us now. We thank Dr. Derek for that, and I believe it's so appropriate with what the Lord has laid on my heart for tonight. Here we stand, Spirit of God, fill us now, fill us with your truth, fill us with your word, fill us with your spirit. I was going back looking through what we've come through in the book of Matthew, studying the book of Matthew. And, you know, when I started the book of Matthew, it talked about the birth of Jesus. It talked about that all led to the birth of Jesus. And then it led us to John the Baptist, which is a power-packed chapter in chapter 3, leading up to chapter 4, where Jesus comes on the scene. You know, it's almost like in the spirit I could see him touching down in earth, you know, like he's coming from heaven and he's touching down to bring his people the message from heaven so that the kingdom of heaven can come on earth as it is in heaven. And he has the kingdom. He is the king, and he has the kingdom. He came down from the pillars of heaven just to bring mankind into the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And it's a powerful revelation when you begin to go back and meditate on what happened in John, in Matthew 1, 2, and 3, and 4. We're up to 5. And we got to 5, and each part of it was just so miraculous if you would walk into it. But I think the greatest part was when Jesus found his disciples in chapter 4, near the end of chapter 4, and he said, follow me, and I will make you fishes of men. And I think he was saying that to us today and to the church, because I think we sometimes fail to follow closely to what Jesus is saying. So I think, as he said to me tonight just before coming on, he said, instead of just saying, hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church and listen to what he's saying to you, I want you to say, before you say that, say, come closer, because his voice is not, the call is there, but it's so strategic and it's so for you and it's so for me that he wants you to come in closer and to listen very carefully to what he is saying. And so as you begin to do that, you begin to see the nuances coming from the Word of God, and maybe nuances in the good words of scriptures, the Spirit, I would say, coming from the Word of God, leading us and guiding us. He says, follow me, and I'll make you fishes of men. And I think what happens so often is we learn things, and we learn how to do it, and we learn what to do, but we don't follow Jesus. I've had two calls come to me saying, you know, how you teach it this is not doctrinally correct, and I'm sure it may not be doctrinally correct, I don't know, but I know the Spirit of the Lord is very real, and I believe when Jesus said to his disciples, follow me, and I will make you fishes of men, that a lot of things went on between Jesus and the disciples, that he taught them much
of which may not be written in the Bible, but the truth of it is there. Because, for example, I was looking at chapter 5, and I hope you're reading this along with me, because it's such a powerful word of God, so much in it. But if you read it just to read it for information, you will not hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. It's saying for the church, and you definitely will not hear what he's saying to you. If you read it with the idea that I'm going to listen because I want to hear what the Spirit wants me to do with this word, and if you are ready to walk into what he wants you to do, then, of course, you will learn more. It will be more than just what's here, because behind every chapter, behind every verse, there is volumes of information. And so I looked at that as I was coming on, this chapter, what have I not done? You know, when it says, when you stand praying, if you there, remember that thy brother has ought against thee. God, leave there thy PFM, go and make it right with your brother and come home. And I think if you follow closely, he will tell you what is what brother and what's wrong. But if you follow at a distance, remember when Peter followed at a distance, he'd been with Jesus, he followed at a distance, and then he's in warming himself with fire, and someone says, oh, you have been with him, and he says, no, I know not the man, because he wasn't close enough to Jesus at that time for the Spirit of the Lord to minister to him. But when he comes out from that fire and he walks by and he looks upon Jesus, and Jesus looks upon him, rather, he wept bitterly. Why did he weep bitterly? When he was following afar, the Spirit of the Lord did not minister the truth and the reality that he was lying and he did know Jesus. But when he came in close, when he walked by Jesus and he remembered that Jesus told him before the cock crow twice, you will deny me. Before the cock crow, you will deny me. And I think that's what he's saying to us, that we need to follow closely so that we can hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. When we learn it from a distance, it becomes doctrinally corrupt. But there's more to it than the doctrinally correct. As we begin to look at chapter 5 and chapter 6, and especially chapter 6, I looked at the way that Jesus only mentioned certain things briefly, but if you took it just by the way he wrote it here, it became information. But if you follow closely, you would probably be taken back to the Old Testament, because remember, he was talking to those people that had been through the five books of Moses, that had been through the law, that knew the law. And so what he said just briefly was written up in such a powerful way in the Old Testament that they knew it was more than just what he was saying. And so for us, when we follow closely, when he says, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. When we follow closely, then what happens is that he begins to give us the full story. For example, what he talks about in chapter 6, take heed to you that ye do not give your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward. Now, remember, there's a whole truth behind the giving of alms. It even goes back to the Old Testament when you look at biblical offerings and why they're given. They understood that, but because they were not learning to do it doctrinally correct, that I'm going to give my alms, Jesus was trying to correct what they were already doing, but he was correcting it in the Spirit by the Spirit. He was saying, listen to me now. I'm going to tell you something about it that you don't know that you're doing incorrectly. And I think that's what the Lord is calling us to already doing, just like the Jews were already given their alms. But he said, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. They had crossed over their hand so that people could say it, you see. And so often what we do, we begin to do it in, well, yes, we're doing it right. And I'm going to talk about follow later today. Are we doing it right? And we're doing what the Lord says. But God needs us to come in closer so that we can hear what he wants to tell us that we're doing it wrong. And so I looked at all these little few verses that he would break up this truth in. Remember, it's almost like he hit the ground. and he started moving, and he didn't start running, he just started walking, and as he was walking, he was saying, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. But what he literally was saying, let me explain what you're already doing, and let me bring it into a spiritual way so that you can bring the way that it is to be supposed to be done, because it is the way it is done from heaven. And this time now, I want to bring the kingdom down on earth as it is in heaven. Saints, believers, I want you to know that's where we are. I want you to know this is not a learning game. It's not learning to do it by rote, but learning from the master. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And every one of the things he tells us in this chapter 6, we could spend weeks going and back to the Bible to see how it's more than just understanding to give alms. Okay, we already do that, but he was telling them how, and he was correcting them. With us, we are already given, some of us, through our alms being giving to charity, giving to the poor, giving to those that are in need. We're already doing that, but does he want to tell us something to bring it into the spirit so that it will be done on earth as it is in heaven? And so he just mentions enough of it to let the Jews know that they were needed. Now, for us, I think it's mentioned enough that we need to go back and correct what we're doing to make sure that we're doing it correctly. I think most importantly, I mentioned before how in our local church, the firstborn, we give in the change jar, and we supposed to give it all to Bethel's house. Well, what we need to do, I think we have gotten to the place, I don't know, that some of the people are not getting change anymore, or that they're bringing, they remember when they get to church, maybe I do have some change in my purse, but not taking that change and preparing that change and bringing it to the house of the Lord because they know this change is going to help somebody who's in need and putting it in. And one of the things that we did, I think, correctly, didn't even know we were doing it, it is not something that we keep a record of. It is not something that we want people to be aware about how much they give. We do not have anyone writing envelope saying this is what I'm giving. We just said give the change, and then we changed it 2 years ago, and we said put some dollars in. And so I think that if the Lord was correcting us, he would say, are you serious about this, you see? Because he said, therefore, when thou dost thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy right hand know what thy left hand is doing, but thine alms may be in secret. Thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee. So if you forgot to bring your change, we just happen to say change, and it's not really change, it's really dollars or whatever you put in that jar. If you forgot or you've made it a habit not to do it anymore because it's not important, it's something we started, and you just kind of went along for a while, and then all of a sudden it's not important. But if you were so serious about collecting your change and making sure that every time you come into this assembly, you have some change, some dollars to put in the alms jar. That way, I think he is telling all of us, hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying for the church and saying to the church. The church needs to give. The church needs to be giving to the poor. We need to give something out of what comes in to our lives. What is he saying to us individually? Listen very carefully. If you've forgotten your change, if you've forgotten your dollars, if it's not important to you, if you think it's just something the children should do, then you need to be corrected. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Because I notice in this chapter, all of Matthew that we've gone so far, we could take a year or two on Matthew. If we were to stop to do what he's saying, it would change our lives so tremendously because it changed our actions. Remember in 5, he says, when you stand praying, if you have ought against any, forgive that the Father in heaven will forgive you. I remember he talked about divorces and adultery. And you know, all these things that he just wanted to follow him because he's bringing now, the Spirit of the Lord is bringing on earth that which is in heaven. And so I wanted to lead into that because I'm looking at this sixth chapter, and it is so powerful. And I'm not going to finish it tonight because I want to camp on one of the most important aspects. And that's why I said, why did God just not spend some time opening up to us the deeper realm of truth about each one of these he mentioned? But he didn't need to. He was literally talking to people who already knew this, who was doing it, but not doing it in the way that they should. He was bringing the Spirit in, and he wanted them to do it in the Spirit, by the Spirit, through the Spirit. He wants us to give in the Spirit, through the Spirit, by the Spirit. And I believe, and I may be mistaken, but I believe that this follow me is meaning that we're going to allow him, we're going to come in close enough for him to tell us what to do and tell us how to do it. Not follow me and learn what the written word says, but let the Spirit of the Lord minister to you what you should do and how it will change you from the inside out, because you're already doing it. But when Jesus came on the scene, he hit the ground. John came, and Jesus to open up the Spirit for people to start doing in the Spirit what they were already doing. I think for us, there is a move of God on the earth now for us to enter into a higher level of spiritual life. And that is, as we follow him, we will be corrected as he talks to us. In this chapter 6, there's so much in it. I'm not going to get to all of it tonight, but then he talked about prayer. If you didn't hear my message on Wednesday evening, please download it, because I talked about prayer. And I look back at that, and we have been dealing with intercession, kingdom intercession. As a matter of fact, I've written probably about 35 books on just kingdom intercession. All of my books, even the basic salvation books, talk about kingdom intercession. And so if my critics who want to know, is this doctrinally correct that I go into kingdom intercession when this is all Jesus said about prayer? Excuse me. He said much more than this about prayer, because, you know, if this is all there was, now remember, he's coming to us, bringing us into the Spirit for what has already been given to God's people and the Church of the Firstborn in the wilderness and whatever God did in the Old Testament. He is bringing us in the Spirit of it. And so he's just telling us to call attention to it so that he can hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying for the church now. Because this was done for the Church of the Firstborn in the Wilderness, which was the Old Testament church. Now I'm speaking to you. I want to bring the kingdom in this church on earth as it is in heaven. So now I want you to hear what it is, and you will find that most of it you're doing. So he talks, after he talks about giving alms, and then he talks about prayer. He corrects the way that they're praying. And I think we need to give ear to that and hear what he's saying to us about prayer. Because so much of our praying is for things on the earth, to fix things we're connected to fix our lives, to fix our family. And I'll talk about family in a session in a minute, because that's what this program is all about. But, and so maybe the Lord wants to correct us. And what did he say about praying? He says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say to you, they have their reward. And I think it's a good message for all of us to make sure. We may not be on the street praying, but we could sure do some religious praying, I believe, in our assemblies, because it sounds so much like prayer. It sounds like someone else has prayed that, and it sounds like it will get the people to say amen, or the people to come in and rise up with you. But thou, when thou prayest, he says, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which sees in secret shall reward thee openly. And I think he's speaking to us, and it's almost like you know how you take your finger and you say, come in closer now so that you can hear me, because you're already doing this. And sometimes I think we're praying because it has become a methodology. Sometimes it's not just a methodology. It has given us a prestige in the Christian world, because we are praying, and we're praying every morning. We got all this prayer going, and sometimes we really, really, really,
not heard what the Spirit of the Lord is saying for us to pray, you see. And so, but we are continuously praying. We're praying for things. We're praying for people. And you know, I'm calling you to be the family priest intercessor. Did you hear that? And I didn't say come pray for your family, because we're always praying for our family. And this is such a serious topic. So I think I want to stop and just stay with that now. Well, he goes on in Matthew. He talks about fasting. And I'll tell you, I think that we really need to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us about fasting, because sometimes fasting can become a way to get God to move for us, not to, and we sometimes think it's a way to move God, when it literally is a way that God wants to move us into position with him. And it's such a powerful ministry, and I don't think, if you look at it, there's not really a lot said about it. I wrote about fasting, the ministry of fasting, and the religion of fasting. I wrote it in a couple of books, and I wrote it especially in a Holy Ghost and Fire book. I wrote it in another book on 240-day consecration. And one of the reasons that, and as I look back at some of these books that I've written, it didn't just come because this little, maybe the few verses God spoke about it. When you come in close to the Lord, he takes you through the Bible, and he begins to open up power of the Holy Ghost, and you can confirm it with what he's saying here. If you any of you ever read my book, so look at one thing. If you thumb through, you will always see that I will explain something that the Spirit of the Lord is saying to me. Then I put scriptures right below it. I do not have you to go back and forth looking up scriptures. I do not have you at the end to look in someone else's book. The Bible is always the part, and I spell it out very carefully. I was taught many years ago, over the years I've learned so much about writing, that you never misquote God's word, and whenever you write God's word, you always make sure that you spell everything just like it is in the Bible. And I always, with all of my books, I always distinguish the scriptures. I either will indent them on both sides, make them sometimes they'll be a different typeface or something, because the word of God is so powerful. And if you would see how, if I explain something in a paragraph, a page or two, how the scripture then pulls it right into the spirit so that you can see it in the spirit, because God's word is not for us to learn to do by rote. It is for us to let it change us into the likeness of Christ and for the kingdom of earth as it is in heaven. And that's what I think Christ was doing when he hit the ground walking and saying, follow me, I'll make you fishes of men. He didn't do things elaborately. And I said, oh my God, he didn't say enough about prayer. Prayer is our only connection to heaven right now. I mean, what else is there to connect us to heaven except prayer, the word, and worship? You know, prayer, praise, the word, and worship. But prayer then opens our heart up to seek him, to ask him. And then I have to ask myself something else. And you may be asking the same question. Jesus said at one time here, as he was talking to the disciples, and you see, if we just take everything by rote and say, well, this is what the word says, and this is what I'm going to do. But here's what he says. He says, but when you pray, use not vain, this is verse 7 of chapter 6, use not vain repetition as the heathens, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask. All right, now, if you take that by rote, it is truth. It is not an untruth. He knows what you have need of, and so he knows it. But look at what else he says. When you pray, come into a closet where he is. Come on in closer, you see. And but thou when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. That means come in closer, because there's more to prayer. We go in and start looking through the scriptures, you see. Paul talks about asking. Paul talks about praying, and if you look in Philippians, it was really one of my special books that I really love, because there's a place in Philippians when Paul talks about be careful for nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto the Lord, and the peace of God. So are you saying Paul went beyond what Jesus said? If you were to state this by the letter of what's written, you would never ask for anything. But that is not what Jesus meant. And so each one of these, you could write volumes about our prayer, and it did not take away from God's word, but it was telling us a manner, you see, because he says right after that, after this manner, therefore, pray ye our Father which art in heaven. And so if you look at that, if you really just look at how it is written there, you would say, okay, this is our Father's prayers. You've probably heard it 100 times. And so you pray rotely, but I noticed something. I wrote a book, and I'm going to use a little bit of it tonight and probably come back to it and put some emphasis on it. And it's called The Four Realms of Prayer. And, of course, as I began to look back in Matthew 6 and at the way the Lord, and some people say this is the disciples' prayer, some people say it's the Lord's prayer. Anyway, Jesus said after this manner, pray our Father which art in heaven. It literally covers much more than you know. So I went back to my book on the four realms of prayer, and I could see it covered the four realms of prayer. This little book talks about the ministry of prayer, the training ground to prepare kingdom intercessors. And so it literally is a powerful book, and much information for family priests and assessors. I want to talk a little bit about it tonight, because I want to talk about prayer in a different way. You see, the Lord, God of the universe, is calling forth his chosen, those who've been chosen to be family priests and assessors, those who've been chosen by whatever call he has on their life. And I always say family priests and assessors is the most important one. Those that have been called to rise up and take possession of their kingdom inheritance. And so the call to understand the different aspects of prayer has become more pronounced, because the call has gone for prayer and intercession to move not just the church, let's say to bring our families into the kingdom. And that is going to require a deeper understanding of prayer and intercession. You see, one may believe that prayer as usual will bring their families into the kingdom, will open the way for the king to come. But the call now has a kingdom ring to it. Therefore, if you've been called to be the family priest and intercessor, you need to understand the ministry of prayer to move into prayer power for this last day assignment. So I'm going to talk about that. I hope you will bear with me tonight, because I have such a passion for family intercession. I'm not talking, and I think it is so appropriate that as I pulled out this little book I wrote on four realms, four levels of prayer, and it's just so appropriate for all of us to look at prayer now in a different way. I believe that we prayed the prayer in such a way that God is pleading for us to follow him so that he can make us fishers of men. So because it's the midnight hour of the church, it's the midnight hour for our family, it is a clarion call for family presenters to rise up and prepare yourself to understand ground-level prayer, to understand warfare prayer, to understand priestly prayer, and to understand kingdom prayer, kingdom intercession. You see, I think, and the reason it is so key, and when God gave me to write this book, I could see really people becoming casualties of the war, because they moved into realms of prayer that they did not understand. See, prayer intercession has been on the horizon for some time, but now the call is to understand prayer and understand intercession and to prepare for this. You see, the end time call for family priest intercession is a call for the family priest to prepare for a higher level of prayer and intercession, but one must understand the different levels, and one must also know whether you are prepared to fight in this level. And, you know, I was thinking today, not only whether to understand whether you're prepared, but to ask yourself, are you ready for this level? Because literally you can stop at any level you want to, and you can still be very Christian-y, and you can still be very spiritual. But it's not that you have to say yes to it, but you must say yes for the Lord to move you into it. You see, many come to be, say they've been given a call to be a family priest, intercessor, or been very seldom will they say family priest. That's why I really need to talk about these different levels of prayer. And they do not have time for strategic training, nor to believe one can train them, or that they need one to train them. You see, it's a vital time now that we spend time in the presence of the Lord. I think that's what he meant by following me. But one needs structured training which is established by God, under God's trained tutors, doctors, lawyers, teachers, nurses, dentists, and all professionals must submit to classroom preparation. Why not God's army? I look back at the years of training. Someone asked me something the other day, and I wanted to answer very quickly because it's normal to me, but I thought of the years of training that I had to go through to understand the deeper level to get the answer for what the person was asking me. It wasn't light training. It was spending that time at that time as though my life ended here. Because when you are preparing for any profession, and the same as with God, you must give up your life to that training for the time being. I think if you allow me to say this, I think we have come to a very critical time in the movement of God towards glory. It is so critical because God has released so much truth in the earth that we didn't have in the time before. We have all the communication tools. We have all the ministers that have been thoroughly prepared by God, some prepared, some not so prepared, but still out there. We have also the fivefold ministers, and we have also been received one of the calling to the office of the fivefold. So we come to the body of Christ with so much knowledge that Jesus, we can follow Jesus closely and change according to the way he wants us to. Some time ago, I used to talk about the two-finger typist compared to the typist, you know. You may look at the two-finger typist who is using two fingers, and they're going very fast, and they're doing just the same thing that the professional typist is set doing. But it is a whole different world, because when you have taken 2 years or a year to literally to become a typist, you see, it's different between a keyboardist and a typist. Because when you become a typist, you don't just learn to use the keys, but the most important thing is you spend endless hours, keys are etched into your brain. And I can close my eyes and I can say ASPSJKL semicolon. If you ever take a typing class, you know what it is, because that's a rule that you got to go through that until that's your home role. And then you begin to look at the other roles, and you can close your eyes now and you can do that without a problem. That's training. But if I just pick up a keyboard and start using my two fingers and the keys are there, that's completely different. And so I think the Lord is calling us now to let him train us, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And I think he's calling us now to let him be the one. So let me just back up a bit and look at these realms of prayer, because I think it doesn't take away from what the Lord is saying. He knows what you have need of. But his entire prayer covers a different realm. And if we had time to go through this, and by the way, this book is available. I always say that. But we have not had anyone yet to order one of my books for this program. And most of the people listen, I think they already have them all, but thank God for that. But if you don't have it, it's available by calling our office at 262-473-7472. That is the Sanctuary of the Firstborn in Whitewater, Wisconsin. But anyway, it's called The Practical Aspects of the Ministry of Prayer and Intercession, a treatise on four realms of prayer. And I want to just talk about it a little bit so that you can see what I'm talking about. There are four levels of prayer and intercession, and it's so key because if you finish one realm, the Lord will move you to the next. And so often people are not trained to finish a realm before they move to the other. They follow people that might have gone through all these realms, and they are praying it way, and they believe they can do it when they haven't finished realm one. Or they're following someone that's taken them from realm to realm without trying to find out whether they're able to stay in that realm. Oh, it would be wonderful if I had time to do all of this. But one must also know your authority in prayer for a particular level. Oftentimes, an intercessor will wander into a realm of prayer and intercession, and that one has not paid the price for the authority in that realm. Satan then becomes a victor because Satan knows exactly where you are. We had a young lady who lived in the sanctuary at one time, and, of course, we had a powerful ministry of intercession at the time, and so sometimes we would have them there for a period of time. And she said to me one day, she said, "I understand every place a Christian is when they come to that door." She told me that she was sent there to destroy me and to destroy the ministry. She said that she was a high priestess of Satan, and so this came out, you know, in ministry after a period of time. And so when she said that, then she began to tell me that she could meet a Christian at the door, and she could tell what level they were. Well, if this person who was trained by Satan to do that, don't you think Satan knows that too? So God's called out intercessors must certainly understand these four realms of prayer, and they must have passed through the corridors of the first three before reaching the portals of kingdom intercession, where the king waits that one to give that one direction for kingdom living and kingdom work. I talk a lot about that. I've ministered in that from that platform, but I want to go back now and see that there are four spiritual realms of prayer and intercession, and each realm carries an anointing for answers to prayers. So if one treads the highway of prayer, that one must of necessity be prepared to learn much of the order to reach the believer's destination, because you have a destination. If you're just praying because somebody told you to pray, if you're just praying because somebody called you to pray, I got a prayer request the other day and someone asked me to pray for something, and what they asked me to pray for, I said, I can't pray for that, because if I prayed for it the way I would have to pray, they wouldn't even know when they got the answer. So I had to sit with the person and say, now, what is the answer that you want? Because it's the difference between you praying for answers and when you have the anointing to pray for answers. You don't just pray anything, and you don't just pray for things. That's like Jesus said, the Father knows what you have need of. And so that's why it is so key, I think, please, if you are a prayer warrior, if you're a teacher, if you're anywhere now, my passion, my pride, I just would that if I could teach the levels of prayer, I could teach prayer, you know, to really, I spent years trying to prepare people so that they could enter into prayer in our school of ministry. Our first 2 years when people came in for the degree was to prepare them. And how did we prepare them? We prepared them through healing, through deliverance, through learning to hear the voice of God, through allowing, following the Lord. And, of course, they got to the 2 years, which would be the 4 years, because if they were doing an undergraduate, it was a 4-year degree, then what they had to do then was to position themselves with God to carry it out. If it was to start a ministry, we always wanted them to start a ministry by praying in whatever it was, then they would write about it so that it would become real to them. But if they did not finish those first 2 years, if they did not enter in to battling for a soul, if they did not enter in to understanding finance, if they did not enter in spiritual authority, if they did not understand the understanding of the various ministers and ministries, if they didn't go deep enough so that their hearts could be changed, that they were changed from the inside out. They could never write a thesis. They could never finish the degree. If they got a degree, guaranteed, they did not finish enough to carry it for the kingdom, and that was a purpose to establish that in the kingdom. And that all had to do with prayer. They had to go through these levels of prayer. I want to just talk about those levels. I believe we might have been praying for a long time, but the time has come for that one to understand the whole realm of prayer in order to know where one is positioned, especially if you fall to be the family priest and assessor. You need to know where your authority is. You need to know answers to prayer is the answer you want is ministered for the level where you are. That's why we start out with family and assessor so often, and we don't get anywhere. Why don't we get anywhere? We start praying for the things that's happening around, but the things that we don't even know when the answer comes, we're just praying that they will hear the Lord speak to them. We don't know. We're just praying that they will come to church. Well, if they come to church, so what? Will they be brought into the kingdom? And so the Lord is calling for us now to be more strategic in our prayer. I'm just going to mention this, and maybe I'll come back and talk about this a little bit. The following prayer anointing and power for them are held out by God to every believer so that one can be delegated authority for answers to prayers in a particular realm. This is so key, saints. Oh, if I could just help people to know that God is such a God of training. When he said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men, he began to teach the people how to live. He began to teach them what to do. He began to talk about their giving. He began to talk about their forgiveness. He began to talk about their fasting. He began to clean up things. But they had to follow him, not learn that when they pray, go in the closet, but follow him so that he could then tell them what to do. So as we look at these particular realms, here they are. The power. The first one is the prayer of power. And it's the realm number one. We call that ground level prayer. It's the believer's prayer. I believe that most of us pray ground level prayers, and then we mix in a little warfare, but we mix in warfare and ground level when it's not called for. There's a time where ground level we have to do war, but there's a ground level praying that we must perfect and we must finish before we move to the next level. And then the second one is warfare prayer anointed. This is where we have our prayer warriors. This is for stratospheric prayer. This is dangerous ground. It's why many people get waylaid before they can get any place. It's why many people look at their families and they say it's getting worse. It's why they're praying for years and they see no results. Because you're dealing with an ancient entity. Warfare is where he lives, and you are not even walking close enough to the Lord for him to tell you how to pray in this realm. That's why you need to walk so close, because he can tell you, as I write in some of my books, to help you avoid the landmine that Satan has set for you and help you to know what to pray. And then, of course, the third one is what we've been calling everyone to, and that is priestly prayer. When I said family, priest, intercessor, this is another level of prayer. And you will not be able to be the family, priest, intercessor. You'll not be able to do priestly prayer unless you have finished those first two realms, unless you have gained such authority in those realms that you will not be knocked out by Satan. And so the priestly anointing is priestly prayer representing man before God. That means that God, you're in such a position with God, just like Aaron was, just like the Levitical priesthood was. You're in a position that you're allowed to come in close, and then he will tell you what to do. You will do that, and then, but you're doing it for the one on earth, for man, for your family. You see, he knows your family. He covered them, everyone, just like you, in the mother's womb, before they were wrought in the Lord's body, he was wrought. So when you're praying one thing,
you haven't even begun to touch the thing that he knows, to break the box, say them, and take them one by one. Because they basically, if you go back through everything I've written about family,
peace, and effect,
you know, it's such a wonderful thing. I said before the other day, God, you gave me these truths, and they're great. I read them, and wow, that works. It might work. But no one's reading them. Everyone wants to do it, what they know or what they already learned under someone, under another time, which didn't even talk about this, but they talked about what they were brought forth for. It wasn't wrong for them to be there, but God has laid a foundation now for them to come in close to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. I talk about in my books on family precept sessions, I just revised two of them, one on calling forth a family precept assessment to destroy generation line curses. That was the first book I wrote. It took me years to write it. It was my first introduction to this call. And then the next book, I didn't even edit, but it's all available, is Understanding and Destroying the Power in Generation Line Curses. And then the third book was Divine Exchange, From Curses to Blessing, and the one that I just edited, and we have gotten no mileage out of it, but at times it's gone into the second printing now, and we brought it into a different level of understanding, is calling forth a family to precept-assessor to take a journey into intercession for families in desperate situations. With all of this, if you were to read them, you would not see it's a book of understanding for you to get understanding and know what to do. It's a book to guide you through landmines and prepare you so that the devil will have no room when you stand before him praying for your family. And so that's what the family priest anointing is. When you become the family priest and assessor, and then you are representing your family before him, and he is telling you what to do. But listen, the thing that we work so hard in trying to get the praise of that, is that no flesh shall stand in his presence. So if you read any of my family precept session book, it talks healing, it talks deliverance, it talks warfare, it talks all of the things that you must, these grounds that you have to go through before you can stand before him, and he can tell you what to do, and you will do it. Then he will do what you can't do. And, you know, I guarantee you, you cannot do this with the specificity God wants you to do it when you are working with everybody else, doing everything else that everybody else is doing. You will of necessity need to be dedicated to this, that your life revolves around. And whatever God has called you to do, this is the key if he's called you to this one. Final one, where I'm really working with so many people, is a kingly anointing, kingdom intercession for kingdom purposes. And if you will notice, the difference between level 3 and 4, the priestly anointing, God is calling you in close. Follow me, and I'm going to make you fishers of men, because he's calling you in close because he wants mankind to come into the kingdom. And so he wants your family to come into the kingdom. So you're the priest standing before him, and you are representing man before God. And that's the one thing we miss, because when we stand before God, when Jesus is our intercessor, and he stood before the Father, and if you look in John 17, how he prayed that prayer of intercession, when Moses was standing before God for the children of Israel as their intercessors, he told God he could wipe his name off the book if he would just forgive the people. And so he was standing before God representing the people as a priest of the Lord. When it comes to kingly intercession, God has a purpose for things for the kingdom. And so he calls on intercessors to open the way for his purposes, and it doesn't always impact very specifically men. It will impact his kingdom. It will bring about an eternal purpose in the earth that will always open the way for God to have his way in that realm. Jesus became our high priest, but he was also the king. And as king, he was sent to bring the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So when he talks to us in chapter 5, chapter 6, he to do. But he's literally bringing the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. In the prayer, when he taught the disciples how to pray, our Father who art in heaven. That, when he said, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, that was what he was calling in. And so man, to come into the kingdom has to come in their heart. But he's more interested in bringing a people to the Lord. There's always a prophetic people, and there are different prophetic movements. But the prophetic movement means that there's a foretelling of what God's purpose is, and there's always someone apprehended to bring them to that. I don't know why I brought that in. But it is so important that as we begin to look at prayer as God is, one receives an anointing and authority in a realm of the Spirit for answers to prayer as one enters into the fullness of the requirement of that level. And I'll tell you, when I wrote this book and I started writing on the different realms, when I got to realm one, which we all must finish, we go through a process. I really could spend weeks talking about just realm one, because most of our prayers are prayed in realm one. And we think that's what it is. Realm one is ground level. Realm one is what's going on. Realm one is stopping the devil where he is. Realm one is getting ourselves into a place where we can really and truly begin to be cleaned up, so God, by the Spirit, will really be able to use us. This is a prayer which grows out of the believer's walk with God, and power and authority given us. That one becomes established in the Lord. And in ground-level prayer, one prays for things, one prays for people, one fights for victory on the ground. This prayer may not be prayer of power on the onset of believer's walk with God, but will become stronger as the believer grows in prayer. We do a lot of ground-level praying for our family. When literally we need to go up into heaven and tear down the strongholds in the bloodline, going all the way back to Adam on both sides of the family. And of course, we in most of our books, we talk about the fact that we have to deal with ourselves, because we sit at the doorway of six sets of ancestors. Now, remember, the Bible says that the iniquity of the fathers are visited by the children to the third and fourth generation. But then the mother's ways and attitudes, now the mother does not, the baby does not get its blood from the mother, so it's the father. But the mother has more influence bringing in the habit patterns from the family, from her part of the family. And, of course, those habit patterns open up the way for children to pick it up. We sit at the doorway of their iniquities coming up from fathers or grandfathers, and as family priests, we are supposed to stop it right here. How can we stop it unless we see ourselves with that same thing? So you have alcoholism in your family, but you don't have alcoholism anymore. Yours is another type of addiction. Let's say that you have a habit pattern of the way you do things, and you see your children and grandchildren doing the same thing. Well, those things must be dealt with, because anything in us, we can never, ever deal with it in the spiritual realm until we've finished it on ourselves, because that's where we prepare in these realms. We get everything out of the way, so that we can have authority on that realm, in that realm of the Spirit. You see, saints, when I'm talking to you, I'm not talking about living a Christian life. I'm not talking about doing just enough because God has called you to a ministry. I'm not talking about ministering to other people so they can get it. I'm talking about living a life for God. I'm talking about the kingdom on earth coming into your heart. And even if no one sees it, and one of the reasons we have so little victory in prayer, I'm talking about so few people really dying out for prayer, is because there are no accolades. Literally, I'll tell you something. There are no accolades. There's no money in it, because people think prayer is free. And so since God is going to answer you praying, they will not think of giving you an offering. Again, I said I've been on this program 2 years, and I have gotten 3 checks. I have said, would you just send a little offering to help pay? And I got 3 people to send me an offering,
Because, you see, we're talking about something that's free, that God's going to do it. So you will not get rich by it. You will not be able to be taken care of by it. You will not be lifted up and say you're some great minister. And you will not be the one who will have people laying out on the floor and screaming and crying because they just met God under your anointing. This is why Jesus said it so well. When you pray, go into your closet and close the door. Who knows what you're praying? And it says right there, the Father sees. It is in that closet that teaches you the realm of prayer. He teaches you the difference in prayer. He tells you what to do about that wayward son. He tells you how to pray about that son or that grandson who is doing so well on the job, who is doing so well with the family, who you don't have to go to jail and get him out. He knows something about that one that you don't know. He knows something that you need to know right now. And you need to know how to pray about it right now, not when it happens, not crisis type of praying. And if you pray about that right now, he is not about praying about fixing that one right now. He's about praying about bringing that one into the kingdom, opening the way that one will come. And as the Lord said when I wrote one book, that they'll start falling into the kingdom like dominoes. And when they come in, they will come in saying, what must I do to be saved? And they will come in, as many as will shall be saved. They'll be saved from themselves. They'll be saved from the flesh, and they'll be saved from the devil. That's the goal. The goal is not to get them out of jail. The goal is not to have a good marriage. The goal is not to get a good job. The goal, we help them do that. We pay our own through the teeth to keep them stable in the earth. That's not the goal. The goal is not later that they cry out for mercy. The goal is have a secret place with God so God can tell you where they are. God can talk to you about them. God can tell you what to do. I'll say this on the close. My son and I had this talk together, and it was, I mentioned this before, where he had to write all these sins of his youth and came into the church, and it was horrible. I mean, horrible. And I mean, why didn't I know that this boy was doing all these things, you know, because he was a very good kid. He was in school. I mean, he did everything kids supposed to do. You know, he went to college. He went to, you know, did all these wonderful things. And the other boy was a heathen, more than a heathen. And so I began to think I need to upgrade him. I need to really get a hold of him. He's born again now, serving the Lord. And so, I'm afraid about it a little bit. And the Lord says, no, you need to confess your sin. Because my sin was, why didn't I know about it? Why? What kind of parent was I? Where was I at that time that I was not aware of this? I was a good person. I was in the church. I was doing well. But something in my call to be a parent was not there. Now I can clean up after it, but there's something there that must be repented of. And I can say, I think I know because people have said it, but that's why Jesus said, when you pray, go into your closet. Intercessors now today need to allow the Lord to talk to them about themselves and not talk to them so that they'll know that they're wrong. They need to stay with that until God has carried them to the end of it. I was so grateful. I don't know if you've ever read Watch the Knee. No, not Watch the Knee. We Follow. One of the things he said, one of the great intercessors he said about his intercession, that he always guarded his abiding with very great care. He did not let anything interfere with that time that he would abide with God and wait on God. But he always waited for God to tell him what was wrong with him. And he said once God spoke to him, he could not go back in the presence of the Lord until it was corrected. See, what happens sometimes, we will hear God tell us what's wrong, but we just say it's knowledge. Yeah, the Lord told me that, and he showed me this, and he showed me that. But you haven't even allowed him
to see how that sin affected his kingdom, how it has put a stain in your life, how it has opened ways of curses to come to you, how you are operating in that sin at a different level, how then you look back at your children and say, I look at them and they're doing the same thing I did. Well, you haven't even allowed the Lord to tell you how to break that stronghold because it's in you. And you are praying about that, but you haven't. You haven't allowed the Lord to go into your closet. And as you go into your closet, you hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And he's talking to you. And he wants you to listen very carefully what you have to do to get rid of your sin. Father, we thank you tonight for Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Ghost. I am so grateful for the Holy Ghost. I'm so grateful for the years that the Holy Ghost allowed me to hear what the Spirit of the Lord was saying. I have forgiveness for the many things that the Holy Ghost opened up that I did not do, that I allowed the Lord to finish with me. But Lord, be merciful unto all of us tonight as sinners, according to your loving kindness and your tender mercy. Blot out our trust. Wash us thoroughly from iniquity and cleanse us from sin. Because against thee and thee only have we sinned. Lord, I call forth a new revelation to the body of Christ about prayer. Lord, I ask you to help us to move from this place where we have learned how to pray, and we are praying with all of our heart, but we are not following you closely. We haven't allowed you to tell us what to do, and then we do that, and then you do what we couldn't do. We've not allowed you, Lord, to be the one to lead the prayer. We just learn how to pray by the many things. You see, you learn obedience by what you suffer. But we haven't learned obedience because we haven't suffered anything. You came down to bring the kingdom on earth, and you began to walk it out. And you began to call people to follow you as you began to tell them how to walk. We hit the ground running when we got born again or when we came into the church. But we just kept on running. We didn't stop to let you teach us and train us and instruct us. We just opened our natural mind to gather all the information we could, and we took off. And the Lord, forgive us for letting pride slip in, because pride slipped in. And the more we learned, the prouder we got because of what we knew. And we began to look down on others that didn't know God and began to criticize those that did not know what we knew and were not doing it correctly. Forgive us tonight, Lord. Be merciful unto us tonight according to your loving kindness and your tender mercy. Blot out our transgression. Forgive us for the sins of our youth. Lord, I want to call forth intercessors, kingdom intercessors, family priest intercessors to lay their lives down. Give up doing everything and going everywhere and making sure they're part of everything and let them come to the closet, like you said, come into the closet. And the Father who sees you in the closet, and he comes to meet you there. And when he comes to meet you there, he begins to tell you what to do, and you will do that. Come in a little closer now. Listen to him tell you what's wrong with you. As he said, when you bring your gift to the altar, and there, remember that thy brother has ought against you, go make it right. Don't let us not hear that. Don't let us think that's for someone else that's not as high as you are, that don't know as much as us. Let us, oh God, listen very carefully so that you can show us where we have ought against a brother, even if it's a mother, a father, a husband, even a close relationship. Forgive us, Lord. And so tonight, Lord, we open our hearts for you to come in close. We come in close so that you can tell us what to do, and we will do that. Then you will do what we can't do. Well, saints, we thank the Lord for coming, meeting us tonight. I hope you received something from this word. Maybe there will be a day that I'll get some feedback if someone is listening. Is there anyone out there listening? Well, if you are listening, we thank God for you. If you're not, if no one is listening, God is still hearing what the Spirit of the Lord wants to bring to the earth, and he is waiting for us to receive it. And we thank you Those of you that do listen very regularly, God will bless you. I hope and pray and trust that it will take you to a different level of family intercession. And I believe that God is raising up a new breed who will walk and talk like Abraham's seed. They'll walk in the power and the might of God so that we can bring our families in. Our families are getting born deeper and deeper into sin. They don't have a clue, because even the older, when we were coming along, we did attend church. We might not have heard much, but there was a better way, a good way. And then some even attended church, and they still never gave their life. They didn't hear what the Spirit of the Lord was saying to them. Let us pray tonight that we will be the one to hear, listen very carefully to what he's saying to us, as he prepares us to follow him, so that he can make us fishers of men, and the fishers then would be our families. Anyone who's been to the sanctuary of the firstborn, we have one room, which is Gilgal. It's all about family intercession. And then we wrote the book of Zebulun, the tribe of Zebulun, and Zebulun was the one who looked at the sea and saw the family, and he was the evangelist, wanting to bring his family in, as Issachar, his brother, was the one who prepared the place, because he knew the season and the time. And we need to know the season and time now, is that our families are really in need of, desperately in need of coming close to God, because they're getting further and further away. And they've been so blessed, and they've been given so many things, even by us, so they don't even have a need for God. And God has a need for them to get in now while it's easier. So let us all decide we're going to be the one to pay the price, to walk it all the way through these realms of prayer. You don't walk through overnight. You don't walk through without training. But every realm of prayer, there's a book from the Sanctuary of the Firstborn that will cover it. Our book Gilgal literally covers the realm number one, carrying you every step through realm one that will take you to the kingdom. May the Lord bless you tonight. We'll be back with you again on Wednesday evening, same time, 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. We're still in the book of Matthew. We're still with chapter 6. I haven't finished it. I don't know what I'm going to say more about the realms of prayer. I just might. I just follow the Spirit. Whatever the Spirit of the Lord say, that's what I do. But right now, may the Lord bless you, and I thank you for listening, and I will say good night.